earlier in the program, we talked about housing and absentee owners. We're also continuing to take a different kind of a look at part of the homeless situation in Hawaii, with a very specific look at Honolulu's neighborhood of Kaka'ako. HBR's Noe Tanigao has been spending time there talking with a number of people and joins us with more now.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to bring this to you, Bill. Earlier this week, we met Aura Reyes. You remember? She's a certified nurse's aide. She was also working at TSA when she lost her housing. In fact, she continued working those two jobs for years after that. But Aura got low-income housing just last year, 7 years after she filed for emergency family housing with HUD. And let's just jump into her story. Aura spent all those years without permanent shelter.
And before we came on the street, I used to be, go get a job, da, 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 da. But oh my God, my first night on the street was just like, Dad, what do I do? What are we gonna do? He's just really calm about everything and don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And he's been really resourceful. We started off Pali, Chinatown, that area first. Makiki, some people out here are like, oh, what, you know, more clothes? Oh, I get some clothes. And then they go in their stuff and they come out and they bring out some clothes. Oh, you need shoes, what, you get sandals, you get slippers, you need this, you need hygiene, you need all these people. I didn't even know these people.
What's it like here in the morning?
What you mean, like?
Like, what's it like?
Like when people wake up?
Yeah.
People go sleep in the morning. Nobody wants to come out at night, in the morning time. Sun is up, the people are out. I know I did. I tried to stay hidden. You don't want to be seen, especially outside your homeless camp, by the public, by people you knew.
Oh, so what do?
So a lot of times people just organize their stuff in their house, go to the shower, maybe wash some clothes or whatever. But you have a lot of people here that have jobs. So in the morning they get up and they're gone, they go to work. A lot of people, believe it or not, have real jobs.
They have state jobs, service jobs, lots of fishermen, Aura said, laborers, and a lot of people working two jobs, as she did. I wanted to introduce you to someone else too, Bill. John Montanona. He was a line cook. He worked at Nick's Fish Market, Brew Moon. Then he went on to Michelle's, but he lost that job when the brunch service failed when business was going down. He used to fish with his friends here at Kaka'ako, so he felt safe in this Kaka'ako Park area. He's been unsheltered for over a decade. Now, John is a little hard to understand, Bill, but I really wanted to give you just a brief sense of him.
A lot of new people come out here. We don't know who do.
I know.
John, we get a lot of them, though. John, you get stove, you know, and I have all those things. You need anything. I'll provide it if I can. You need something? I tell people 80-90% of the time you come to me, so I guarantee you I get it. They dig it in the bucket. No. People can use it, I grab it.
What's amazing, how many people who have so much would make an offer like that?
So, and what he was saying, just as you say, hard to understand, but he was saying that he had things that he could help people with.
What
if they came to him?
Whatever you need. Mm. He said 80, 90% of the time, he will have it. He's talking about tools. He's talking about nuts, bolts, hammers, can openers. You know what? People always go to his place to eat because he used to be a cook. People drop off food at his place. Mm. They expect him to cook. He's always got a stove. Anytime you need spices, people go over there. And you know what? In fact, he said to me, he says to everyone, anytime you like, come my house, eat. No matter what time, day or night, come my house. And I tell you, I feel a little different in Honolulu now. I know I can go there and have a meal. You know, John would always do that. He's kind of amazing to be around. Not judging, you know, when you look in his eyes. It's really something. Meanwhile, there in Kaka'ako, the 2019 point-in-time count showed 621 unsheltered. That's downtown to Kaka'ako. That's the largest concentration on Oahu, 26% of our total. And we have people across the state racking their brains over what to do about this unsheltered homeless situation. In Kaka'ako, several people just up and tried something. Here's Aura.
Okay, Alani, James, Kathy, they came up to Mother Waldron like sometime last year, beginning of last year, and they had the talk story. So they would come and they want whoever was out there, come. They would just want a talk story. They wanted to find out what was going on with the people.
Why were people not leaving? Why were people not accepting the help or going into shelters? Like, what can people do to change things?
What do you think about that approach, Bill?
I'm curious what the answers were.
Yeah. I mean, those are things we wonder as we're walking around town. We just never stop and get to ask anybody. I mean, this is like the ultimate DIY grassroots approach to understanding the problem is what they really are trying to do. That was Alani Apio, James Koshiba, Kathy Kawano-Ching, with others. They kind of operate as a loose organization called Hui Aloha. And the thing is, they kept at it. Every Saturday, they meet and continue to meet there in Kaka'ako at the park there that fronts Ala Moana Boulevard. They meet and the community started taking chances themselves. They started believing that something could happen. Ora Reyes, John Kaulupali, John Mantanona, and others banded together under this name, Kapoe o Kaka'ako. They started cleanups, they met with area businesses, and I talked with two members of the Kaka'ako Neighborhood Board, Lynn Mariano and Ryan Tam, chair of the board. Here's Ryan Tam.
Our neighborhood board actually first got engaged in this issue a few months ago when John Kaulupali, one of the leaders of the Kapoe o Kaka'ako houseless community, actually came to one of our board meetings. He introduced himself and described their efforts to build a community at the Makai Gateway Park. He described their weekly service projects to clean up the area around the park and how they, as houseless people, were forging relationships with each other and actually working to police themselves and watch out for each other. Our board was really impressed by what they were doing. One of the lessons that I took away from all this was that they actually needed human relationships to heal, to come together, get a sense of community and security. And that was actually what they needed to go to the next step of getting off the street and into services, into shelters. When we first talked to them, they had about 40 people who had committed to move out there. And then a few weeks later, they had actually gotten 80 people to sign up. It was also really encouraging to see the volunteers from Hui Aloha work to help them come together like this, treating the houseless as people and not just as a number that needed to be matched up with a bed in a shelter. You know, that's a strategy at least worth trying, right? About 2 weeks ago, the city swept the Makai Gateway Park and the houseless community started to scatter and disintegrate. Our neighborhood board is just trying to help out. We're just trying to be part of the solution. It's not just about getting them out of a specific place. After the city swept the Makai Gateway Park, for example, we started seeing more houseless people up for the Mauka over by Sheridan Park and King Street. Of course, the residents in those neighborhoods weren't happy about this at all. So it's a really complex issue and something that we see happening again and again throughout the island.
Bill, that's one perspective. What's happening now is that there may be a move ahead for Kapoe o Kaka'ako members. The idea is to transplant the community they now have to a plot of land where they can live kauhale style of traditional Hawaiian homes that are like a compound with different hale for cooking, eating, sleeping, stuff like that. It's the kind of community that Pu'u Honua o Waianae is trying to pull together. And out there in Waianae right now, private donors are offering $300,000 toward a new settlement for them if Pu'u Honua o Waianae can match that. Crowdsourcing is underway right now at alohaliveshere.org. You can find out a lot more about all of this right there.
And a lot of questions in terms of where these actions go next, mm-hmm. and in terms of land itself and in terms of those who live in areas where homelessness now, as you said, 26% the concentration in terms of Kaka'ako and downtown Honolulu. Certainly a lot to keep an eye on, but also some things happening under the surface, perhaps.
New ideas are happening.
All right. Noe Tanigawa, she covers arts and culture at HPR, also does some other stories. You can find them all at HawaiiPublicRadio.org.